The plot, it just keeps thickening when it comes to former Ipswich Mayor Paul Pasali and this bag full of cash he was found carrying as he tried to return home from Melbourne Airport last month. Now, yesterday, while I was on air, Brisbane barrister Sam DiCarlo waded into the controversy. He was telling the Courier-Mail that Paul Pasali had collected the 50 grand at his request. Now, Mr. DiCarlo, who was a friend of Paul Pasali, said the money was part of a court settlement for one of his Chinese clients. Now, let's remember here, there is nothing illegal about having a big bag of cash. But this statement from Mr. DiCarlo is unusual because it's not normal practice for barristers to handle cash on behalf of clients. Solicitors, yeah, but barristers? Now, I've approached Mr. DiCarlo today to come on the show, yet to receive a reply from him or his office. Queensland Bar Association, they're the one that looks after the barristers. Well, they don't want a bar of it, to be truthful. They're not commenting either. But the Queensland Law Society, they have expressed some concerns. Christine Smythe is the president of the Law Society. Christine, firstly, good afternoon. What are the rules around barristers' handling of clients' money?
Good afternoon. I stress also that it isn't illegal to be carrying around cash. The peculiar circumstances of this is where the questions are rising and the unusual nature of so much cash being carried around. In terms of barristers, they are not permitted to have a trust account under their rules. And with respect to the handling and management of client funds, the barristers' rules, Rule 17H, says that a barrister must not administer any trust estate or fund for another person. Now, the reason for that...
Would that explain the cash?
Well, any money that you hold on behalf of a person, you would hold in trust for that person. Now, I can't speculate, nor should I speculate, as to the purpose behind how that occurred, and I stress that it's not illegal to carry cash around. Hmm. It's an unusual circumstance for a barrister to be managing the funds of a client. And the reason for that is that most of the time they do not have a direct relationship with the client. It's the solicitor's branch of the profession that has the direct relationship with the client. And the obvious exception, of course, is when the barrister might take a direct brief. But as they don't run a trust account, the only funds that they can receive is simply for the work that they've done for the client.
And see, that's where my mind's ticking over, going, well, if you're carrying cash, if you pay in cash, there's no paper trail, there's no account needed because you've got cash.
That's correct. And there are significant rules, regulations and legislation that apply and govern a solicitor's conduct, in particular the management of funds of any kind, including client funds. And in particular, under the Australian Financial Reporting Regime, if a solicitor receives funds, regardless from whom, if those funds are in excess of $10,000, mm-hmm. they are required to report them to AUSTRAC. Now, the curious anomaly there is that the legislation refers to solicitors reporting.
Not barristers.
That's correct.
Because they aren't supposed to have the trust funds and not supposed to be handling the cash, right? Okay, or handling the money or the funds. Can you see a circumstance where handling cash may be a necessity rather than, say, electronics transfer, which is kind of how we all work these days? Because there is supposed to be a paper trail, as you've just alluded to.
Well, as I said, we're not here to preempt the outcome of any investigation.
There
will be a paper trail.
Sure, and that's why I'm trying to think, is there any reason why there would be cash involved rather than the electronic transfer, i.e. paper trail?
I really can't speculate because I don't know the nature of the matter.
Not this matter, Christine. I'm trying to be very circumspect mm-hmm. here. Is there any possible, plausible explanation? Say if you and I were mm-hmm. having some sort of transaction where mm-hmm. you would say to me, how about let's do it in cash because mm-hmm. of?
Well, I'm a succession lawyer and I deal with elderly clients an awful lot.
Yeah.
Elderly clients, there are still many around who have experienced the consequences of recessions and depressions, and they have a very different viewpoint as to the cash transactions as opposed to us more modern and younger folk who are accustomed to dealing electronically. So sometimes you meet older clients who prefer to deal in cash, mm-hmm. but even when they do prefer to deal in cash, in my experience, it's never that amount of cash, and there's always a receipting and audit trail. So if a client comes to a solicitor with cash, the solicitor's branch of the profession is governed by strict rules which require the solicitor to receipt the money immediately. So there is an audit trail of the receipt of that money.
And again, you keep stressing solicitor because this is where the anomaly or the unusual behaviour sort of comes into it, because barristers should not have and do not have really any contact with funds other than for their services rendered. My guest this afternoon is Christine Smythe. She is the president of the Queensland Law Society. If any action were to be taken, it'd be up to the Bar Association, wouldn't it? And should they be looking into this matter, do you think?
Again, it's not something that ought to be preempted. Everyone's got the right to defend their circumstances. The issue here is raised, it's an unwise and unusual circumstance to be transacting in such a large amount of cash. There are limitations on professional bodies as to what investigations they can do, and those limitations apply both to the Queensland Law Society and the Bar Association. Investigative powers are not one of those, so those powers will be left to other organisations such as the CCC or possibly the Legal Services Commission. What powers the Bar Association have, and for that matter the Law Society here, is that we have the ability to issue a practising certificate. So the Bar Association has the ability to issue practising certificates to its barristers. So it's illegal in Queensland to provide legal advice and conduct legal practice without a practising certificate. In order to obtain a practising certificate, you have to satisfy certain elements. One of the key elements that you must satisfy is that you are a fit and proper person to conduct practice at the bar. Now, the Bar Association has the responsibility of issuing practising certificates and also the burden of withdrawing a practising certificate, or they have the ability to place conditions on them. And that's the extent of their regulatory power with respect to that.
Christine, thank you for the background, the insight, the education on this. This is a story that so many people are talking about. They've got an opinion on. We want to make that an educated opinion.
You're very welcome. And if I may make that comment, the role of the Queensland Law Society is multifaceted, and one of them is to ensure, as the peak professional body for solicitors in Queensland, that we uphold the integrity of our justice system and to ensure that the public has confidence in the justice system. And part of that role is educating the public around how legal practice works.
I reckon you've done that this afternoon, Christine. Good on you.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners.
The president of the Queensland Law Society, Christine Smythe, it just gets deeper and deeper, doesn't it? It's a story, as I said, that so many people are talking about. Now, that opinion that you may have can be a little bit more educated.